Welcome to the Feeding and Leading Podcast, featuring Todd Fisher and Andy Taylor, a podcast for church leaders focusing on expository preaching, pastoral leadership, and ministry.
Welcome, everybody, to the Feeding and Leading Podcast. My name is Andy Taylor. I'm the East Central Regional Ministry Partner for Oklahoma Baptist, and today joined by our Executive Director, Dr. Todd Fisher. Todd, it's a wonderful Thursday afternoon.
Yes, it is.
And you have rolled in.
I just rolled in, and it's sleeting outside.
I know.
But it's like
February
46 degrees.
The 29th.
It is. Is
leap day.
Leap day or leap year, or what's the technically correct?
So we've
leap something?
Yeah. But anyway, sleeting outside, of which by the time people hear this, it will be blazing hot.
Probably
most likely
so.
Outside.
It will be like
so, anyway.
June or
hey,
something.
Today I'm excited about this topic, Todd. We're going to talk about ministry pipeline. This is something that we've had kind of going on, some semi-informal, sometimes formal structure in Oklahoma for a while. Very excited to talk about that today, because pipeline, the way that we've kind of looked at pipeline is this is an opportunity for us to mentor, coach, iron sharpens iron, brothers together in ministry. And we think it's a valuable tool that we've got going on in the state. And today we are joined by Heath Tucker. Heath is the pastor at Waterloo Road in Edmond.
A gentleman and a scholar.
And he definitely is.
Heath the Lesser, though, if Heath Thomas happens to.
Heath the Lesser.
No.
He's Heath the Greater.
No.
That's how we know it.
That is not true. That's not true.
Negative. Heath, tell us about what's going on. Tell us a little bit about what's going on, like with Waterloo Road and how long you've been there. And
yeah, so I've been at Waterloo for almost 4 years now. And man, the Lord's just doing a really good work there. It's a really sweet time in ministry, having new families come in just about every week. Just really excited about really that whole area as it develops and as people move in, and just excited to be on board with what the Lord's doing.
Yeah. And how long have you been a senior pastor?
I've been a senior pastor. I started January 2011 now. So.
And where was that?
Friendship America, just outside of Altus.
Friendship America. Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
You know what's crazy is he's been a senior pastor that long, and yet he has no gray hair.
Hey, I got it in my beard. So
you
if
do
I,
have it your beard a little bit.
If it was a little bit longer, you'd be able to
but
see
But you don't right have now enough gray in your hair to have been a senior pastor that long.
Yeah. He looks essentially the same that he did in 2011, although he's got a big smile on his face
true
right now. And
yeah,
you do see it where you see it in most pastors, and that's right there in the eyes.
Yeah. Well, I did have Todd preach at my church not too long ago, and he did point out to my church that I'm no longer a young pastor.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah. That's
you
true
are not a young pastor.
Well, no, you're not. You're an experienced pastor, and you've been through, like every pastor, been through the fire, and you've been through some great times. Nonetheless, in all of it, you've seen the Lord's hand and blessing you. How'd you get involved in Pipeline?
Well, whenever I first started at Friendship, I didn't really have a clue what was going on as far as senior. I thought I knew a whole lot going in, and then you have that oh no moment where you're just sitting in the office sort of by yourself, the only one full time on staff in the office. And
you mean day one?
Pretty much day one.
Tell us where Friendship is again.
Right outside of Altus. Yeah, and so I had felt like I had just sort of, if you can figure out youth ministry, maybe I'd kind of gotten to that point. Mm-hmm. I think I started out early on with maybe a charisma that was so far ahead of character, maybe. And so just, you know, made some mistakes, did some things that, you know, learned the hard way on some things. Mm. And so I start as a senior pastor really wanting to get it right from the start, not wanting as much to learn through mistakes and just feeling my way along. And so right away I got on the phone with guys like Shane Hall, who was at First Baptist Lawton at that time, and I called Keith Wigginson. He was at Hobart, and Earl Stevenson at First Baptist Weatherford. And I asked, hey, could I just come see you once a month? Mm-hmm. And I'd go in, and there'd be times that I'd have very specific questions about you know, something, whether it be how to handle deacons and deacon ministry, and how to lead a church to have buy-in when it comes to vision and those type things. I really wanted to kind of lean into them because they'd been there for a while and been really successful. And so I wanted to try to be a little further along as quick as possible. That's the idea with pipeline, right? Mm-hmm. We're familiar with the oil field in Oklahoma, and pipeline is to get oil from A to B as quick as you can and easy as you can, mm-hmm. With the least amount of disruptions. And that's what I wanted for my pastoral ministry. Mm-hmm. And so about 5 years in, I moved to First Baptist Skytook to pastor. And I felt like I had a decent grasp on what I thought I wanted to accomplish as a senior pastor, but I thought back to my time just starting and knew that there had to be first-time pastors out there with some of the same questions I had, and just knowing how I benefited from those guys that were just, you know, just incredible in the way that they pastored and shepherded their churches. So I started trying to get some first-time pastors together and set under the likes of guys like Nick Garland and Rick Fry, and just, again, trying to just accelerate the process of being a good leader, being a good pastor, being a good shepherd.
That's good.
It's great. So now you have a group of guys, mm-hmm. You know, whether you call it pipeline or whatever you want to call it, that you meet with, mm-hmm. You know, on a fairly regular basis. What would you say is the purpose? You just described a lot of what it did for you, but what would you say now is the purpose that you have in mind when you lead a group of guys like that?
Well, again, it's just trying to accelerate the process of thinking through things like vision, thinking through things like buy-in, thinking through those type leadership necessities that go into being a senior pastor. And most of these first-time pastors are coming in, like I did, they're coming in from youth ministry, or they're coming in from other second chair type positions. And so, again, I want to accelerate that process on thinking through, you are the senior pastor, the church is looking to you for leadership. How can we kick the can down the road a little bit quicker to develop some of those leadership strategies and whatnot? But are we going to pause this? Because I had a thought
you can.
And lost it.
We can edit.
Yeah,
we can edit.
Sorry, I just jacked that one
up. We do that.
That's good.
I don't even remember what I was saying.
Oh, you said we're kicking the can down the road a little bit quicker.
Yeah, a little bit quicker. And, you know, a lot of times a first-time pastor doesn't have any other staff members, so they're not able to bounce maybe some of those ideas off other staff members, other pastors. And so just trying to create that atmosphere where they can think through things and they can struggle through things and they can ask those questions maybe they're timid about. Maybe we have to present this, we've got it all together, to our churches. Mm-hmm. So maybe behind those closed doors, being able to pull that mask off and work through those issues with some peers.
Yeah.
What would you say, Heath, you know, like what you just said there, the advantage of a pipeline is you can bounce ministry ideas off of, hey, we got this big decision to make, you know, how would you guys handle that kind of thing? But also, and this may be I want to hear what Grant would say too about this, but what are some of the other benefits, value, that might be more intrinsic, if I can use that word, of being a part of a pipeline? I guess that fellowship, that iron sharpens iron, kind of talk a little bit about some of those kind of type values and benefits that come from a pastor being in a pipeline with other pastors.
Yeah, and so again, I'm maybe experience wise, not even as much age wise, but sometimes that's the case. But experience wise, maybe a little bit further along than some of these other first time guys. Mm-hmm. But I go in there maybe with a little bit of an idea of maybe where I want to take them, but I'm just saying that whenever I sit down with these guys and I hear about what the Lord's doing in them and hearing about how they're handling things and the questions and how they seek the Lord in these, I think I walk out of there maybe more encouraged than them, mm-hmm. an awful lot, mm-hmm. and Grant will speak to this, but I'm I'm not like we meet about once a month. We meet once a month with our group of about 12 guys. And so one month they'll meet. It's just us. It's just me and the guys in the pipeline. But then every other month we'll bring in somebody more seasoned. Like we've met with you, mm-hmm. Todd. We've mm-hmm. met with you, and you've instructed us, and that's just mm-hmm. enriching times. And not just that, we came to the Baptist building, and so mm-hmm. maybe a lot of guys hadn't even been right. at that point. And right. so just being able to network and to connect is real valuable. We sat down this last Tuesday with Wendell Lane, mm-hmm. you know, and got mm-hmm. to sure. got to have that connection, and not just his pastoral experience, but also got to hear about Water's Edge mm-hmm. and how that can serve our churches. And so, you know, I might facilitate and guide some of those discussions and set some of those things up, but I think I'm taking more notes than any of them as I'm listening mm-hmm. to these guys and walking away a better pastor myself, mm-hmm. even though I've done this maybe longer than a lot of them, mm-hmm. At least in that senior role.
And there's just something that's healthy, beneficial, just being in a room with other pastors. And I know a lot of our guys, just from as I travel and talk to a bunch of pastors, there's a lot of loneliness that's out there and frustration. But the loneliness idea, I see the pipeline helping that so much, just being in a room with these guys. And something too, I think it would be good, maybe if y'all want to speak to a little bit, I think sometimes pastors tend to forget that they really need other pastors in their life, because being a pastor is a hard job. You got other people. Everybody in your church has a profession, and other professions are hard. Teachers, it's a difficult thing. Everyone has challenges in their profession. But I do think that pastors have some very uniquely challenging things that they have to deal with. And nobody really can commiserate or really relate to what a pastor goes through except for another pastor.
Sure. Yeah.
And, you know, back in football days, you know, we used to talk about, you know, being in the trenches, mm-hmm. and pastors are in the trenches. And I think there's just some kind of intangible benefit that comes from just being in a room with other pastors, that, you know, these guys know what when I say I had the little old lady that came and chewed me out 5 minutes before I preached. When if you got 12 guys in the room, all 12 of them have had that happen to yeah. them before. I don't know.
You see heads nodding. When
there's
you
just
bring
something
those things up.
It's yeah. that intrinsic, intangible value behind that I think the pipeline is so valuable.
No question.
And let me just say one other thing about that. Yeah. And it's not just the encounters and the struggles you have with your church members. But our churches are looking towards us whenever they're mm-hmm. struggling in marriage or with mm-hmm. finances or anything that life throws at us. And it's really hard for us to reciprocate that with a church member and to
yeah.
say, well, yeah, marriage is tough now, or kids are tough now, or whatever yeah. the situation
yeah.
is. And it's easier to be able to sit with a peer, with a pastor,
yeah,
and be able
man,
to have those conversations.
That is such a great point, because if you're a pastor and you can have friendships in the church, that's awesome. But there is always a little bit of that odd dynamic because mm-hmm. you're still their pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you always see it when, you walk in, you're like, I don't know, some group in the church or whatever, and you walk in, and the first comment is, oh, everybody better straighten up. Here comes the pastor.
Yeah.
That's the dynamic. Yeah. But what you just said, Heath, that peer-to-peer, you don't have to worry about that dynamic being in there. And I think pastors can – they can be themselves. They can let their hair down. They can be very honest.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're bottling all that stuff up as a pastor, none of that's healthy.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this, Heath, and I'm going to try to do this to segue here.
Okay.
How – you lead a pipeline group now and have been doing that for a couple of years?
Several, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you go about choosing the men who are in the group right now?
Again, I was specifically looking for first-time pastors. That was their first church as the senior pastor. And so I wasn't as much looking about age as much as experience, the first time senior pastor. And we've done in our church, like we've got guys now that are called to ministry that we're doing the same thing with that we're either going to eventually hire him on staff at Waterloo or we're going to send him out to another church. But this specific pastor with a group with Grant here, these are all first-time pastors. And so I'd really just kind of watch the messenger and different things and see when these guys would come to these churches. And or I'd lean into some of my regional partners, you know, and say, let me know when somebody comes to the area so I can connect them. And, you know, again, we're at about 12 right now. And I think that's some good dynamics there.
Mm-hmm. Jesus thought it was a good number. So, go ahead and introduce Grant.
This is Grant Finley from FBC El Reno.
Welcome, Grant. We're glad you're here. Tell us, how long have you been at El Reno?
I've been there about 3.5 years.
Okay. And you came from Phoenix.
Came from Phoenix. Yeah, I was on staff at North Phoenix Baptist Church.
Yeah. And this is your first senior pastor?
First senior pastor.
Okay.
In fact, the first time I was ever on staff at a church was at Phoenix. I did BCM for 6 years at UCO.
Mm. All right. And so how did you come to be involved in the pipeline?
By the grace of God.
Okay. Yes.
No, listen.
And his name is?
That's right. No, I was, like I said, I did BCM. The first time I was on staff, actually, you know, I've been in ministry, but the first time I was on staff at a church was at North Phoenix, and I was there for, you know, 3 years. So I was not on that side very long before I came to First Baptist El Reno. And listen, I was so green. I remember I think it was like the second week I was there, I happened to be there alone in the office somehow that happened. And this older gentleman comes in and he said, I'm just here. Do you guys have any open windows? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And he said, do y'all have any open windows? And so he said, they're usually in the lobby. And so I go in the lobby. And I'm like, I don't think any of these windows open.
There are no windows
in the
lobby.
There's no window. And I walked back and I was like, I don't think we have any, sir. And he's like, all right, so I'll come back. So then the front desk ladies come back and I said, this guy asked for open windows. She's like, yeah, it's the devotion book.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There we go. So I was that green, you know, just figure it out.
That's pretty much the definition of green.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yes. For everyone younger than me, open windows is the devotion that Lifeway puts out monthly.
Yeah. That's
yes.
Right.
Exactly. So anyway, whenever Heath reached out to me, and I became part of it, man, it was just really helpful. And I think that for me, this may be hard to hear for some people, but when you leave Oklahoma and try to come back, sometimes it's hard to get back in.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So I had a lot of questions, but I didn't know who to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and I didn't I just didn't know who it was okay to ask. I'm sure everybody would be open to it, but I didn't know that I had that access, right? So when Heath reached out, it's like, oh my goodness, here's an opportunity to ask some questions that I what's open windows, you
right.
know? But I mean, much bigger than that. And so, I really mean that it was a godsend, you know, that Heath reached out.
What's been some of the biggest benefits to you being a part of the pipeline?
Well, I think for me personally, it is learning together. Heath has done just a fantastic job of, mm-hmm. you know, obviously him learning from him, but also, you know, we learn from you and then bringing in many other pastors. We got great pastors around the state
mm-hmm.
and that we can learn from. And so just the learning together, I think walking with one another, like mm-hmm. you mentioned, I feel like I can talk about this now. I probably couldn't before, but I don't know. Maybe our third meeting. I caught Heath outside, and I was just about to. I was in a bad place, and I said, Heath, could we meet? He said, "Do you are you thinking about quitting?" I said, "Every day."
Mm-hmm.
And so he. We met up, and he just walked with me,
yep.
and helped you know, just encourage and like, hey, you got this. The Lord's got you, and pointed me toward truth that I couldn't find in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's a level of accountability there that is, you know, I think sometimes the way our churches are set up, the lead pastor is up here, everybody else is down here. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of accountability, but whenever pastors are together, mm-hmm. there's a little more accountability. Like you mentioned, more willingness to be open.
Yeah.
And not at risk of what happens if I am honest.
Right. Right.
And then I also have found that it's been incredibly valuable to me to celebrate with other pastors. I'm not a big social media guy. I don't like to post. I don't like to celebrate things online because
mm-hmm.
it feels like I mean other people maybe can handle it, but I just feel like it's just a tool for a narcissist, right?
Right?
Like it just it's a great tool of the enemy to puff up our heads and.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and then sometimes, like when you go to different things, you know, whenever you're like, you want to celebrate things that God is doing, but you don't know how because you don't want to come off as like you're bragging on whatever is happening or something like that. But like when there's a space where we know each other, we know each other's intent. We're not trying mm-hmm. to, you know, compete here. We're not trying to like look how good we are. It's fun to be able to celebrate. Because mm-hmm. we should celebrate what the Lord is doing. And so that's been really, I think, a beneficial part of it as well.
And that's good. Pastors need a place that's safe where, like you just said, everything you just said, Grant, is as it should be.
Mm.
You need to be able to have somebody in your life like you did with Heath and say, hey, man, I'm really I'm at the bottom.
Yeah.
And we – And what I hope people listening to this too would understand is pastors have this kind of camaraderie and a brotherhood where when they get together, you guys don't sit there and it's not this comparing, you know, how big a church I'm at. You know, it's none of that.
Yeah.
It's, man, we're a brotherhood. We're in this together and we're here to support and lift each other up. And I just think that's so important. Unfortunately, One of the things that I do in this position is I will end up talking to a lot of guys that have moral failure.
Yeah.
Two of the common denominators in guys that have moral failure, one, they let their personal spiritual life, their quiet time, go to nothing.
Yeah.
And two, they don't have people in their life that they can do life with. Because I'll ask, what guys do you have in your life that you can just kind of do life with? And every single time it's, well, I used to, but we all got busy.
Mm.
And I hope that one of the things that people listening to this episode will take from is what we're talking about here, to me, is not just some kind of, if you have time for it, this is a good kind of bonus to do. I think this is essential, and we have got to be intentional about having people in our lives, just as Grant said, that have that hold us accountable, encourage us. This is an essential thing that we're talking about right here.
Yeah, those two factors that you just brought up are not only the top two indicators that you'll see or symptoms, if you want to say it that way, of moral failure, but also of pastoral burnout,
mm-hmm.
depression, yep. and it even leading to physical problems that pastors are having. And so this is something that Pipeline is an intentional, many times informal strategy to try to mitigate that.
Yep.
So I want to ask you this, Heath. I don't know how to ask this. Let me just make a statement. Heath Tucker, I'm looking at Heath now. Heath Tucker didn't decide to do this because he thought that he had everything that he could to share with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
You just saw a need, and you started inviting guys to come and be a part. And there are pastors that are probably listening to this today, and I'd like to hear from both of you on this. If there are pastors that are probably in that isolation, in that loneliness, in that, man, I wish I had something like that, how would you encourage them?
Well, if you're on the end wishing you had that, I would say start out by looking at those guys you admire in the state, and reaching out to them. I mean, that's how I started out. The guys that I had a tremendous amount of respect for, loved how they were leading their church, loved how they handled the Word of God, and I reached out to them and said, "Can I meet with you?"
Mm-hmm. Now, did even one of them hesitate or say no?
Not even one. And that was what was so surprising to me as a young pastor, to have somewhat of an intimidation factor of wanting to reach out to guys in larger churches and more established ministries and say, do you even have time? And I mean, every one of them just bent over backwards to say, I would love to meet with you. And I was a nobody. And I feel like I still am. I'm still a nobody. But even more of a nobody back then. But to have these guys, and you know, I mentioned some of them. Every pastor needs a Bill Hulse or a Doug Melton in their life that they can just be encouraged by. And so, I would say start out by maybe identifying some guys in this around you that you want your ministry to look like theirs when you're 20 years in or 30 years in, and just call them up and ask them and. It's just been my experience that the answer is always yes.
I've heard that several times, and I think that's an important point to make right here, is if people are listening to this episode and saying, I want to be a part of a pipeline, I want somebody like that, you just got to step out and do that.
Yeah.
It's not, you're probably not going to have somebody invite you. Mm-hmm. You might, but more than likely, you just got to do what you did. Pick up the phone, call. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you right now, any older pastor that's listening to this episode, if you do not have time in your life where you are not investing in someone younger, you're making a mistake.
Yeah, change.
We're talking about a biblical different. Pattern here of mentorship. And if an older, more experienced pastor is not investing in someone younger, then you need to start that immediately. But you make a good point in reach out.
Yeah.
Reach out.
And I think that, well, possibly, just like in our churches where we think some of the older generation has this thought, the younger generation doesn't care what I think or there's no value. I don't think that's true at all.
No,
we know that as pastors that the older generation has tremendous amount of wisdom and life experiences. And if we could just get past that generational barrier. And so I would say to the older pastors, too, man, don't think that us young guys don't value you in what you bring to the table, because you've got those experiences that they never taught us in seminary that we want to draw from.
And you know, another little thing I'd drop in here too is, I don't think it matters what age you are, what stage you are. You always need somebody like this in your life.
Of course, absolutely. Yeah.
Just this week, I had a really long, great lunch with Dr. Jordan. Mm. You know, and it doesn't matter where you are, how old you are, how long you've been doing it. I think you always need people in your life that are investing in you.
Absolutely.
You know, just pick up the phone or email or text 1, 2, 3 guys and say, hey, let's meet for lunch. And just start from there.
Yep.
You know, and especially if you offer to buy them lunch, you know, you're going to have guys who are going to want to do this. Grant, how was it for you? I know Heath contacted you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, it was a godsend. And I would say that, you know, what Heath said is true. He doesn't – it's not like come listen to the guru here that I know all.
Right.
All he really is doing is creating a space for us and then getting in our business a little bit of like, hey, what's going on in our lives? Mm-hmm. Let's share what's the highs and lows. And then inviting pastors to come talk about topics that we want to know about because he's asked us.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just really organized a place and a space that is, like you said, Todd, safe.
Yeah.
And that's how it's kind of all come about, and it's been tremendously helpful.
That's good.
Can't thank you guys enough.
I want to close real quick by me asking you, Andy, a question.
Sure.
We got a lot of pipelines going on in our state.
There are a number.
It's something that we are wanting to promote, emphasize, make more of in our convention work. Speak just a little bit about what's going on pipeline-wise in Oklahoma.
Yeah, so a lot of the same kind of things that what Heath is doing. And here's the beauty of it is that they come in all shapes, sizes. I've had people do this. Hey, can you send me the information on pipeline? There's no information. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't have a this is the model that you have to use. Mm-hmm. We just have faithful pastors who are out there meeting with each other, and men who are investing in others. We have them. We even have pastors' wives pipeline groups. We mm-hmm. have a pipeline group of OBU students who are going into ministry. Mm-hmm. We have pipeline groups on BCM campuses.
Mm-hmm.
So we have them all over the place. But I'll tell you this: we don't have enough.
Yeah,
we don't have enough. We need more. And so the whole reason. One of the big reasons why I wanted to bring you on today, Heath, is because I just love your story. I love your passion for this. But we need more of this. So if a pastor is hearing this right now and he's thinking, man, I would love it just even for myself. Well, you're probably the great candidate to lead it.
Yeah.
And Could they reach out to you?
Absolutely.
And you talk to them?
That's what I was going
to
say.
I'd love to have a conversation about it.
I think anybody listening to this episode is just a little stuck on this.
Yeah.
One, I think they could reach out to you, Andy, and say, hey, I'm a little stuck. I'm not sure exactly. Can you give me some help? And Andy can help.
Yeah.
And if you're someone who is ready to start investing more, reaching out to Heath is a great idea because Heath's got good experience at leading a pipeline. And so Heath Tucker, Waterloo, not Thomas, Heath Tucker, Waterloo Road Baptist Church.
We'll put our email addresses in the show notes so people can reach out.
Guys, thanks for being on the show, man.
Thank you.
Really
thank you. Thank
really
you guys so much. And thank you again for joining us for Feeding and Leading. And we will see you next time.
This episode of Feeding and Leading has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptist. Visit us at oklahomabaptist.org or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptist, advancing the gospel together.